The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone.
You've tied that into my sermon today. Thank you. You've been reading my notes? In the pocket is the button Dwight's supposed to push so they can turn that microphone off and turn this one on. That's why we're inventing the tech hands team, so people can understand what I don't, which is a lot. The book of 1 Corinthians, Paul set up the problems in Corinth. The book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to address growth and love and understanding and bringing people back towards him. We're in the fifth chapter, beginning with the first verse of 2 Corinthians, and it reads like this. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an internal house in heaven, not made by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Lord God, help us understand the depths and the love that you have for us, for the creation itself, for giving human life, love, fellowship. And then, Father, when we do wrong, you've given us Jesus for the settling of the sins and paying of our debts. We've lost some in the church family this week. We pray for them. Miss Betty's not doing well. Give her comfort and her family a blessing and love. We have many others that are sick or feeling bad, or they need your help and encouragement, Father, and let us be a part of that as well. For our military and our missionaries, give them strength and courage to serve and allow us to have the freedom we have so we can worship openly and hopefully enthusiastically. Bless the families, Father, that seem to be falling apart anymore, and the works of evil and Satan himself that tries to destroy the family. Be with those who need your encouragement this week and lift them up, and be with the speaker. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now we know. Back when television was watchable, which probably means mostly black and white, we had people like Perry Mason, who would go through an hour of zigzagging and wig-woggling, and all of a sudden, at the last minute, he would come up with some solution that he's been expecting all along to get the innocent plea that worked out for his people. Now we know this would happen, so we know he's innocent, and on and on and on. Marcus Welby, M.D., remember that show? Wasn't that Father Knows Best? That was black and white. They worked things out at the end. Andy Griffith always knew how to keep Dopey Opie out of trouble. And Barney Fife, my goodness, what can we say about One Bullet Barney? But at the end, we would know what Andy knows and it would come out. Paul is saying that as a Christian, now we know. See, in early Christianity, those who did not like the new religion, because it was either conflict to them, as in the Jews, or as contradictory and almost demanding of change of lifestyle, those were the Gentiles. And God asked them to change their ways. And they didn't want to do it. Most of us do not like to change our ways. If any of you all have ever driven in Britain, why, I don't know. Because they drive on the wrong side of the road. I have a hard time standing on the right side of the road when everybody's on my side down here. I don't know what it'd be over there. But now you know the rules. Computers. Now some of you all are probably whiz bangs. I got the bang part figured out. It's the whiz I don't understand. I still click twice. You don't click twice anymore. That was Adobe or I don't know what it was back in the day. I still click twice. I get some of the funniest things when I click twice. I just don't know. But I'll bring a 14-year-old grandson over here. It's working. All the first part of last week, my cell phone, when I turned it on, it turned the picture upside down. So I turned it upside down, it turned it back the other way. I turned it halfway. I couldn't read the buttons because they were backwards. I went to Sprint. They had no idea what I was talking about, and I couldn't make it do it while they were there. I gave it to my son. Here, Dad, all you do is push this button, and it works. Now I know. Well, Paul is saying, for those who belong to Jesus, who follow God, who understand the great creation, now they know that the earthly tent, he's talking about our body. In 1 Corinthians, Paul even addresses, we are the tabernacle of God. We are the tent. Later we'll be part of the temple of God, the permanent building. Now, I'm giving you my personal belief, but I've read parts of this and a bunch of this and put it all together more than once. Unless Jesus comes back first, which we do have a lot more signs than we did when we were children, unless he comes back first, we're going to physically die. I stood yesterday at the deathbed of Betty Jacobs. I do not think, personally, though I'm not a doctor, that she's going to get well and come out. God bless her if she does. She's ready to go. She said, I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being in pain. I'm ready for God to come and get me. I want to give up the physical body. And we've seen it so many times. Man is made to be born once and then to die. If we're born twice, we die once. If we're born once, we die twice. We're not born of God in the blood and the Spirit through Jesus Christ. We know that in this earthly tent, we'll be destroyed. we talked, was it last week? Y'all give me about 10 different people that sang a song, first heard about Hank Williams. On that resurrection morning when the saints in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body. And all the aches and the pains that we will leave behind in this earthly shell that could have been lost at sea, that could have been burned in a fire, that could be cremated, could be buried in a box, whatever it is, won't be what we look like. We'll look like Jesus. We'll look like God's form, because we know that God had a human form. He made us, let us make man in our image. It's the book of Genesis. So God made us to look this way, and we'll get rid of the humanly body. And it may seem shocking when we think about it now, but it's going to be happy. I mean, we've got artificial joints in here. I didn't want to see ask a hand of arthritis. You heard of that one, huh? There's a lot of ailments, but they won't matter anymore because we'll be with God. We have a building, not a tent, but a building. When George Washington went into Valley Forge, the first thing he did was have his men in that bad cold winter, wet and mushy, to take axes and build them cabins. They put 20 men plus one of them's wife in a cabin that was 12 by 16. Now, 12 by 16 is smaller than this platform. 21 people in 12 by 16. You know what? It was better than six of them in a 5 by 5 tent that they had been used to. It was a move up. So I believe in heaven, the place that God is. Hey, was it, John? I'm going to my place of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you it's been developed for us to live in a mansion with God. This is temporary. Now, it's nice for most of us. You still have all your hair, which much of us are losing. Got your muscle tone, and your belt was what it was when you graduated from high school. I'm going to a liar's club in October. We're going up to our class reunion. How many people will go on a diet about the middle of summer, starvation diet, so they'll try to look like their graduation picture? Not this one here. I've deserved every gray hair and everyone that's gone. It's temporary. We're going to heaven where it's permanent. Streets made of gold. It's a wonderful thing to be. And for that, we should not fear death. We may be afraid of the parting and the separation, but death has no bonds on a Christian. And that's where Paul's trying to go. An eternal, that means it doesn't get over with. An eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. God doesn't need human hands. He wished that he created it. Meanwhile, while we groan, Paul would listen to me get out of bed every morning. The legs, and some of it, nobody feels that way. Rolling out of bed, and I can't get up and have to limp, drag your feet. That's what we are now. But we'll be clothed with a heavenly dwelling. Now, whether we're all going to wear robes like they did in the New Testament time, I don't know. But if he brings that new body out, maybe one size fits all. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm liking about 6'4". 34 waist. That would be a waste of time. Because when we are clothed, we are not found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan, we're burdened. Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So what is mortal? Human flesh. What is mortal? Maybe swallowed up by life. We fear death so much. We hardly talk about it. One of the few topics that families never get involved with, death, or for to be buried, or cremation, or we don't get involved in that. We don't want to think about that. We'll talk about everything else. We'll talk about the house we're living in, or the one we want to build. Jesus has already built the house. So we don't need to fear, because he's got the plans all taken care of. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts, the second chapter, right there, the Spirit is given to the Christians. It's all been taken care of. So the fear of death is something that we've created. Because Jesus, who's been there, come back, and went back to heaven, knows that where we're going to is superior to anything that we can imagine. He gives us great talks about gates being out of pearls or hundreds and hundreds of feet tall and gold and all the diamonds and jewelry that are used and all the symbolism that's got there. We can't imagine how good it is. Therefore, we are confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Those of you that are snowbirds, winter visitors, and still have a place back in the frozen tundra of the north, are absent from there. And it may be a bigger house. It may be on a beautiful lake. It may have ducks in the pond. Right now, it's cold and frozen. And that's why we're here. But the deal is, we're all here temporary. And though snow is mentioned in the Bible at least twice, I don't think it's in heaven, at least not in my part. I hope. We live by faith, not by sight. Are you ready to strike out on faith? God wants you to do it, so you just do it. How many of you all, not a show of hands, think for a second. How many of you all do not still use a nightlight? That you can find the bathroom, can you say bathroom from the pulpit, Joe? You can find the bathroom in the middle of the night without the nightlight because you know where it was the last time you was there. And unless somebody was really mean and moved it, you're going to be okay. If not, we won't talk about it. The issue simply is, we don't have to see everything. Now, I have met people who I don't think looks at anything. We're coming down McGregor today, 35 mile an hour speed limit, in the rain. This guy blows by Becky going about 60. If he had to stop real fast, he would be like one of them ice skaters that's on TV with the whippity, 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 or the ziggity zag thing. He's traveling by faith, I hope, because he had not doing it by sight. And there's a lot of things we take on because it seemed the right thing to do. Let's see if it's a godly thing to do. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This hit me hard last night when I was talking to Becky. Betty. I'm ready to go. That's all I'm thinking about. Getting out of this painful body. Come quick, me, Lord. Come get me, Lord, quickly. And that's okay, too. Let's go on. We make our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nah, we don't want to talk about that final judgment day. You know, it ain't Judge Wapner or Judge Judy or Judge Roy Brown or none of those kind of things. It ain't them three clowns on America's Got Talent or nothing like that. This is the God who knows what we do, what we think, what we be, and what we should be doing. And He will judge us by our actions and our loyalty and our responsibility back to Him and to the world. That's the judgment day He's talking about, the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for him for the things he has done while in the body, whether good or bad. Do you remember before they had computers and the teachers would send you home a brown manila envelope? Yeah, ours was yellow. And on the inside of that, with a clasp on it, so it was official, my dad said, let's see your marks. The grades, you know. Gets along well with others. Remember that one? That was a number one. You had to get along well with others. And has good deportment in the class. Yeah, Dad said, you can be stupid, but you don't know how to act. And then he'd say, you know, exceeding expectations, this, that, and the other. And you get your marks on it. I always got exceeding expectations from the teacher because they didn't expect much out of me no matter what I was doing. It worked out well that way. But we get that report card. And we're hoping on the last one you take home it says, assigned to the next grade up. Yeah. Well, God's got a report card for us too. It's going to be presented by Jesus. And it's going to have marks of the good and bad, but it's not. Because those who were bought by the blood of Christ on the cross through the water of the grave of baptism, it will be nothing but good report.
The bad stuff is gone, washed away, forgotten by Jesus. And that's a pretty good source if Jesus forgot about it. I think we should yearn for that.
Amen.
So that's what he's talking about. There will be a judgment day. Ministry of reconciliation, my Bible says. I had to do some study on this one word. To reconcile can be a... If you any of y'all are bookkeeper... Carolyn, you were a bookkeeper. Where's Carolyn? I've lost Carolyn. You're a bookkeeper. Did Debbie go on the right or left?
Left.
Left side. Now I can tell my story because I know the answer. The guy retired after many years from a big accounting firm. And they said, thank you, and they gave him a big party. And one of them said, every day... And this guy never made a mistake. Well, every day, you would go to your desk, you pull out, look at a piece of paper, fold it back up, and put it in. What does that paper say? He said he went and got it and showed it to him. Credit on the right, debit on the left. We've got to know where we want to put our assets. And the report from that. Reconciliation means you bring two things together that maybe were not together at all. And the whole issue of Jesus is the reconciliation between sinful man and a just God. It goes on this way. What we are is plain to God, and I hope that is also plain to your conscience. He's talking about now we, meaning the apostles. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but we're giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you could answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. I have a blue bumper sticker on my car. You might guess what it says. You would be right if you said UK. I'm proud of my state. But that state ain't going to get me to heaven. My relationship with God will. And the same with all of us. It doesn't matter how good or bad your parents were. It doesn't matter what your siblings do. It doesn't even matter what your spouse or your children do. You have a direct relationship with God that you have to keep clear. Now, if we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God. Paul's talking about, I'm in prison. It's for the sake of God that we are out of our, that we are in our right mind. It is for you. For God's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Our sins are forgiven by the one who died for all. That would be Jesus. Nobody else has to be a martyr. Now, it may happen in times of persecution. But Jesus is the one whose blood paid the price. Not any pope or potentate, not any preacher, deacon, elder. Doesn't matter. It was Jesus and Jesus alone. And when we understand that, we can put all of our attention on him. Because we have an answer. When Betty first got the information that she had a stomach cancer, the answer was from the doctors, we don't know what it is. How a defeating feeling that would be to an average patient. I've got something that they can't cure because they don't know what it is to start the cure. Well, Jesus is the cure for sin. And that's where we've got to go about that. He died for all, that those who should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again, they change. We change our way. That's this reconciliation. Go on. From now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. If you have a television, you might have figured out recently that not everybody agrees on what's going on in this country. Not take a hard, that's just not hard to figure out. Those of you that are involved in sports contests may not like the way the referees call a football game, if you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. We don't always agree. But when God holds the truth, the agreement is serve him. Love him because he loved us first. Though once we regard Christ in this way, we should no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It doesn't matter to your soul what you were before you met Jesus. You could have been so sweet that the bees came to you because you were just dripping off honey. You could be so sunshiny that the flowers turn to you as they turn to the sun as they grow. You could be so vile that even the devil was afraid of you. Those things don't matter. And far too often, we carry in our own heart the burden of sin that we won't let go of. That song goes something like this: Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. If He did that, if He is willing to forgive you, why can't you forgive yourself? The answer is we should. For once we are in Christ, once we have confessed Him, be baptized in Him, rise to walk anew, full of the Holy Spirit, we are new creatures. Still in the same shell. Still talk in the same way. Still like spam. I mean, all those things we used to do. But yet, we are not controlled by how the devil and we were together. And we were serving Him as our God. Reconciliation. Let me go ahead and read the next verse. Let's just get with it. We're going down here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God is reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Reconciliation means pull back together. The debits and the credits have to equal out. Then it's a wash in the money number business and the money, all that stuff. God's reconciliation is, you come to my side and we are taken care of. I have forgiven those sins, no matter how grievous they were, how repeatedly they happened. Because I and only I, says God, can forgive them. See, when we sin, we may hurt other people, but we've sinned against God. He said, I'm going to let go. Now, God is immovable and doesn't change. Then how can we come over to God's side if He's not going to move, if He's not going to change? It's because we have changed to accept what He's given to us. There's a famous word in the theology called propitiation. P-R-O... It's a nice word. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I. Propitiation. When something takes the place of something else. The blood of Jesus Christ shed in Calvary is our propitiation to sin. He wiped them away. And no matter how bad you were or thought you were, it's gone when you've given those sins to Jesus, who willingly takes them. They could not have forced Him on the cross. He willingly went to Jerusalem. He willingly allowed them to abuse Him. He willingly laid on the ground, let them put the nails in His hands and the thorn of spears on His head and the scourge of the cat of nine tails on His back. Because of that, we have a way to get to God. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You know, you was an ambassador. I mean, you're not going to England or something like that, but you're an ambassador for a bigger king than... We don't have a king now, do we? The Queen Elizabeth? And the guy that keeps... Her husband keeps wrecking his car. We're an ambassador of the great king. His name is Jehovah. And on earth, we represent Him. We're doing His work. We're His hands and feet and speech and eyes. Let's go a little bit farther. We implore you, you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come to Him. Do it His way. God made Him that had no sin to be a sin. That's Jesus. He carried the sins of the world. It is said that He died of a broken heart from all the pain and the sins that were on Him. And when His Father turned His back on Him because He couldn't stand to see the sins of the world on His Son. God made Him who had no sin to be sin, so that in Him we might become righteousness of God. That's a whole lot of words, and that's a whole lot of theology. So let the Kentucky boy tell you what it said. God loved us.
Amen.
We sinned against Him. God hates sin. God should punish us and condemn us all to hell. But God loved us to create us. Therefore, He sent a method for our salvation. The washing of the sins will be taken away, and it's called the blood of Jesus. The sacrifices of the lambs and the birds and the bullocks and all didn't do enough in the Old Testament time. It had to be a living sacrifice, who was Jesus. And because of that, He took those sins, and because of that, all of those who claimed Him as their Savior, who have been obedient, on that resurrection morning, when we saints in Christ are wise, we'll have a new body. That's how simple it is. So if you forget about all those fancy words and propitiation and reconciliation, just say, God loved me. Jesus died for me. Salvation is there for us. Our hymn of invitation for anyone who chooses to take Jesus as the Lord is hymn number 589. Miss Caroline, 589.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Be Thou forever near me, my Master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if Thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if Thou shalt be my guide.
Of course, see how Wednesday or next week, I say it's going to be dry, who knows? Either will or it won't be. When I went back to put on my jacket, I got a text message. Some of you will remember a young lady by the name